This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan and together with me, Tishiao Eek. It is Friday, so hopefully you are ready for a break from working from home and hopefully having fun at home over the weekend. Today is also another significant day, I'd like to say, and that's World Soil Day 2020. Now, it's been said that there is more like, well, not today, actually, tomorrow is World Soil Day, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, we're, as usual, we're losing sense of time here.
Also looking forward to the weekend.
Yes, exactly. So I'm already halfway in Saturday, which is, as I said, World Soil Day. Now, it's been said that there is more life in a teaspoon of soil than there are humans on this earth. But sadly, we treat soil like dirt, right? So in conjunction with World Soil Day, which is tomorrow, we wanted to share with you why healthy soil is essential for human survival.
Yes, and we'd like to hear from you if you have anything you'd like to share with us about, you know, especially if you are into gardening or farming in some way, if you'd like to share your thoughts on, you know, how you use soil, why is it so important to what you do, tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Yes, so tomorrow, the 5th of December, is World Soil Day. And since we haven't done it in a while, we're bringing you one of our Hari Ini Dalam Sejarah style primers about this Soilit Day, I'd like to say,
nice.
And why you should really dig it.
Okay.
I'm sorry, there are many more of these coming. I've been thinking of them all day.
Right.
So the idea for an international day to celebrate soil was actually first mooted by the International Union of Soil Sciences, or the IUSS, back in 2002. If you've heard of this union, I'd really like to hear from you.
Yes, that's right.
But it was only in December 2013 that the UN General Assembly designated the 5th of December 2014 as the first official World Soil Day. Now, the date of 5th of December was chosen because it corresponds with the official birthday of the late King of Thailand, His Majesty King Bhumibol Adulyadej, who was one of the main proponents of the World Soil Day initiative.
Oh, well, you go, Your Majesty. Well, the theme for this year's World Soil Day is Keep Soil Alive, Protect Soil Biodiversity. So according to the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization, or FAO, the theme aims to raise awareness of the importance of maintaining healthy ecosystems and human well-being by addressing the growing challenges in soil management and fighting soil biodiversity loss. It also hopes to increase soil awareness and to encourage governments, organizations, communities, and individuals around the world to commit to proactively improving soil health.
So it does seem, though, like our soil is facing a dirt load of issues. And perhaps the bottom line is that we treat soil like dirt and we take it for granted. You know, and that's a really rotten thing to do, because if you think about it, the, you know, soil is the backbone of our food security. Without healthy soils, food growers and farmers wouldn't be able to provide us with feed, with fiber, with food, or even with fuel.
Yeah, and it might seem strange to celebrate soil, isn't it? But here are some reminders about how important soil really is in our lives. And here are these are provided by the FAO. You know, in case you were thinking that soil is just, you know, inert dirt, that's totally untrue. Soil is actually a living, dynamic ecosystem. And this living resource is home to more than one quarter of our planet's biodiversity. Healthy soil is teeming with microscopic and larger organisms that perform many vital functions, including converting dead and decaying matter and minerals into plant nutrients. It's estimated that up to 90% of living organisms live or spend part of their life cycle in soils, yet we know only 1% of this hidden universe.
So plants nurture a whole world of creatures in the soil. And in return, these feed and protect the plants. And this diverse community of living organisms keep the soil healthy, it keeps it fertile. And this vast world constitutes what is called soil biodiversity. And it determines the main biogeochemical processes that make life possible on Earth. And if you're curious about the community in the soil, well, on a megafauna level, toads, moles, beavers, rabbits, and badgers are the principal agents of soil turnover and of soil distribution. And then if you move down to the macrofauna level, earthworms, termites, ants, millipedes, and even woodlice help with soil drainage and with aeration.
Then on the mesofauna plasma level, you have microscopic invertebrates such as collembolans, diplura, proturans, nematodes, mites, and tardigrades that serve as biological regulators of decomposition. I love tardigrades, by the way.
They have those, like, aren't they the ones that live forever?
And they look like miniature bears somehow, but with like one hole on their, what would be the face, I suppose.
You just need to Google tardigrades. Mm-hmm. There's these like awesome pictures of them online.
Yes, yes. And finally, on a microfauna and microorganism level, you have bacteria, protozoans, fungi, and nematodes, which are the smallest and most numerous organisms in the soil, and they hold the responsibility of seeing to biogeochemical processes. And all of these soil organisms are at work all the time in a coordinated effort to sustain life on Earth. And soils are also pretty much like vast vital pharmacies. Did you know that almost all of the antibiotics that we take to help us fight infections were actually made using soil microorganisms?
So it's really like an entire, almost invisible universe that we don't see right around us, right under our
feet. And working so hard every second of the day.
Now, if trivia is more your thing, soil still has you covered.
Uh-huh.
I worked on that one very hard. In just 3 inches of soil, there are 13 quadrillion living organisms, and these weigh 100 million tons. And then 1 hectare of soil contains the weight equivalent of 2 cows of bacteria. So the weight of 2 cows, the equivalent of bacteria.
Right, in 1 hectare.
Yes, I can't even imagine that.
2 cows.
Yeah. Now I'm just imagining bacteria piled upon each other until they form the shape of a cow.
Yes.
There are more organisms in 1 gram of healthy soil than there are all of the people on Earth.
Wow.
And more trivia for you, an earthworm can digest its own weight in soil every 24 hours. And 50% of the planet's soil actually passes through the gut of earthworms each year.
Wow.
And finally, soil organisms process 25,000 kilograms of organic matter in a surface area that's equivalent to the size of a football field, which is the weight of 25 cars.
Wow. Now that we've unloaded the beneficial facts, let's get to the threats. As described by WWF, increased demand for agriculture commodities generates incentives to convert forests and grasslands to farm fields and pastures. Now, the transition to agriculture from natural vegetation often cannot hold onto the soil, and many of these plants, such as coffee, cotton, palm oil, soybean, and wheat, can actually increase soil erosion beyond the soil's ability to maintain itself. So WWF also estimated that half of the top soil on the planet has been lost in the last 150 years. And in addition to erosion, soil quality is also affected by other aspects of agriculture. And, you know, these impacts include compaction, loss of soil structure, nutrient degradation, and soil salinity. And these are very real and at times very severe issues.
And the effects of this soil erosion goes beyond the loss of fertile land. It has led to increased pollution and sedimentation in streams and rivers. It clogs these waterways, and it causes a decline in fish and other species. And degraded lands are also less able to hold on to water, and so that can actually worsen flooding. So it's a real, it actually has a real impact on our day-to-day life. As population growth continues to fuel development, urban erosion becomes an equally significant factor as well. So logging, road and building projects, these gouge the soil, and it strips away vegetation and can significantly alter it can significantly alter drainage patterns. And in addition to the loss of soil, an increase in both nutrient and sediment runoff can cause deterioration in the overall quality of the water as well.
Mm-hmm. And in many developing countries, like ours, for instance, farming often involves slash and burn, you know, where you have vegetation being stripped and cut, then eventually burned. And this is done in order to create agricultural fields and pastures. While this can release additional nutrients in the short term, soil fertility can decrease rather quickly. And it's also at this time when soils are most vulnerable to erosion. And in fact, archaeologists have determined that the demise of many sophisticated civilizations, such as the Mayans of Central America and the Harappan of India, resulted directly from the mismanagement of their soils. So really lessons that we should be learning from history, right? But while there are many challenges to maintaining healthy soil, there are also solutions, of course.
Yes. And to help us understand how we can keep soil alive, on a personal level and why we need to pay more attention to it. We do have on the line now Harbir Gill, who is the founder of Ground Control, a very cool name for an organization. And he's known as H, and he's been getting his hands dirty to understand soil better for more than a decade now. And so he's got a lot of personal observations to share with us. Welcome, H. Thanks for joining us. And before we get into the nitty-gritty of the importance of soil, can you briefly tell us about the work that Ground Control does?
Ground Control was set up really to try and encourage Malaysians to get into and enjoy gardening and all the multifaceted things that go with gardening. We produce soils, compost and soil blends at the core of our business, and then also help people set up predominantly edible gardens at home. So we have solutions and tools and stuff for people to be able to easily set up and look after edible gardens at home.
H, could you share how did your own love affair with gardening and soil in particular, how did that all start?
I don't know if we could call it a love affair. I kind of fell into gardening by accident. I've always been surrounded by gardeners. My mother, my grandmother always loved gardening, but nobody grew vegetables at home. You know, everybody, it was all about very beautiful, pretty flowers and orchids and the like. But when I started gardening about 15 plus years ago now, I decided, my wife and I decided to grow our own veg. You know, our daughter was very, very young at the time and just about ready to start eating solids. And we were like, oh, you know, let's try and grow veg and we can feed her this lovely organic vegetables that we grow. And I got the shock of my life and realized I didn't have a clue about what I was doing. I really also didn't know where to go. And I went to the nursery and I tried to get some soil. And my sister from Australia sent me some seeds and, you know, and it was just one disaster after another. And I just couldn't understand and work out, how is it something as simple as this, something that people do all over the world, why can't I do it? Why can't I get this right? Why can't I grow the things that, you know, I want to grow? And I think it slowly became a bit of an obsession for me to get it right. And also became very, very therapeutic. I'm involved in the film TV production industry, and that can be really, really stressful and deadlines and very intense. And I think that gardening was, you know, you have to wait. You have to plant a seed and you have to wait. And that was actually very therapeutic. So that's how I kind of fell into gardening. I don't know. So it wasn't love at first sight. It was annoyance and shock and horror and couldn't believe that I couldn't do this. And then slowly, as I discovered more, I improved and really, really learned to enjoy it and love it.
Annoyance, shock and horror. I don't know. It does sound like the start of many love affairs to me there. But seriously though, H, why should we be thinking about soil? Why is it even important?
Soil, without soil, we wouldn't have food. I know these days, you know, you'd be amazed at how much of our food, vegetables in Malaysia are not actually grown in soil. You know, there's a lot of hydroponics going on. There's a lot of fertigation going on, which means that it's only grown in a material called cocoa peat. However, you know, all without soil, there would be no rice. There would be no wheat. Arable farming would just not be possible. Soil is also really, really important because of biodiversity and ecosystems. Ecosystems wouldn't exist without soil. The biodiversity that is in our soils, we forget about that. We forget about how many microbes and creatures are under our feet in the soil, and they play such a vital part in nature. And I think now more and more scientists are discovering that one of the most important things with soil is that what a vital role it plays when it comes to trying to reverse the effects of climate change. Soil is important to control temperature. of the planet. And what scientists have found now is that something that I guess we've probably known all along, which is that the more carbon you store and put back into soil, sequester carbon into the soil, this is having really, really good positive effects for the climate. So soil is really important, and we need to start paying far more attention to it, I think, than we currently do.
Yes, that's true. I mean, basically, it contributes to human well-being too, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, good, healthy soil means good, healthy, nutrient-rich food. It is that simple. And healthy soil means soil that is very rich in organic matter, which in turn means that the organic matter can feed a rich biodiversity of microorganisms and creatures and worms and lice and things like that. And that in turn feeds the plants that we eat. You know, people often think that it's soil that feeds the plants. Well, the nutrients are generally, you know, there's more nutrients in the poop of a worm that actually feeds on organic matter, which is in the soil. So without the biodiversity, without the creatures, without the microorganisms, we don't have good, healthy soil. Soil is alive, and it needs to be alive. And I think one of the issues we have in Malaysia and the Klang Valley especially is that some of our soils aren't so alive, that there is very little organic matter and biodiversity in the soils, and that's one of the things that I think at Ground Control we've really, really focused on, is just trying to get more and more good soil into people's hands and good soil into people's gardens, because our motto is that, you know, great gardens need great soil, and that means organic, rich soils, which then can help feed biodiversity within the soil, the microorganisms, the worms, etc., which then in turn feed your plants. I wish people would stop trying to look after and feed and fertilize their plants and perhaps spend more time and concentrate on keeping their soil healthy and alive. And if that's the case, then generally your plants will be fine. If you take more care or more time to look after your soil, the plants will do fine because of that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And you know, with all of this, these lockdowns that we're facing, food security was on the minds of many people, and a lot of us have turned to urban or home gardening just to supplement our food supplies, really. And I remember reading something that you said, that good quality soil is what people need when it comes to home gardening. But what exactly is good quality soil, and how can we cultivate that?
So, for me, in simple terms, I think good soil means a soil that I'd like to clarify. You know, I'm not an agronomist. I'm not a soil expert. Ground Control was born out of a passion. However, in the 10 years or so that I've been doing this, producing compost and soil blends, I have learned a lot, and I have experienced a lot of good and bad soils. So you have different soils for different things, different needs. But essentially, if you have a soil that is got full of rich organic materials, and compost is a really good example of that, but also a soil that is able to retain moisture well, but also drain well, you are going to have a lot of success in your garden. And making sure that soil is alive by constantly adding organic materials to it, so adding compost to it regularly, putting a layer of mulch over your soil so that in turn breaks down to add more organic materials into it. This is what I consider to be good, healthy soils. It also means that your soil is very loose and very easily gardened, if that makes sense. You know, very often we're going into people's homes and we're seeing that essentially, they just have clay as their soil base, and that's absolutely normal. That if you cut away forests, etc., and you have erosion, what you're left with is a laterite clay layer, And a lot of the Klang Valley now, especially with the newer developments, we're going to gardens and we're just finding that it's a lump of clay. And underneath that is often rubble from building materials and stuff. So what we spend a lot of time doing is helping people to rehabilitate that soil. And to rehabilitate that soil, that essentially means getting more and more organic material, more compost into the soil. But also you need to start considering about drainage and water retention as well. So yes, you do need a little bit of clay, but you know, you also need some sand, some silt in your soils.
And aside from what you just mentioned, which is to add compost to our soil, for example, what are some other good practices to protect our soil?
Look, composting is so, so important. I think composting is probably one of the greenest things we can do in Malaysia today. We lose so much of our organic materials to landfills, and the issues that are related to that with the production of methane gas, ammonia release, etc. And this is what I was talking about when I was explaining how soil can help reverse the effects of climate change. If we were to trap that organic material and turn it into compost and then put that compost back into our gardens and our soils, we often think about, you know, large agriculture as the only way to reverse climate change. But you can put compost into all our gardens, all our landscapes. So you start making a difference. And compost is a really good, fun activity, actually. I mean, I've learned so much about the environment just through composting. And I really, really encourage everybody to start trying to do composting at home or in a community or, you know, at the workplace or at the school, because the benefits of being able to use that compost and put it back into your garden is inexplicable. It is seriously the best thing that you can do for your soil and your garden.
Hmm. And for people who are interested in this, to protect their soil, to start composting, what resources would you recommend that they check out? You know, are there experts that we can learn from?
You know, I think when I started gardening 15 years ago, all the information out there was really very much from the temperate climates. You know, I remember watching these videos from this guy from Wisconsin. But there is a plethora of information out there now on the internet, on YouTube. And I really recommend, you know, getting onto YouTube, putting in words like tropical gardening. There's lots and lots of really good stuff coming out of South India, out of the Philippines, out of Thailand, and also now Malaysia, content that can be, you know, people are putting out content about the experiences they've had here. So no excuse, absolutely no excuse now to get on the net and look up tropical gardening, edible gardening, and all sorts of information is there.
All right. And before you go, H, would you like to leave us with any message for this World Soil Day?
Start thinking a little bit more about the health of your soils. I mean, I think you don't need green thumbs or black thumbs. I mean, I ran a class once and the lady said to me, I think I kill all my plants because I have very warm hands. You know, it's got nothing to do with your hands. It's all about great, great soil. And if you have good, healthy soil that's alive, full of microbiology and biodiversity, and also good nutrients and chemicals, you will have success in the garden. But start, even if you don't want to start a garden or enjoy gardening, start thinking about the quality of your soil and how an important role soil plays in terms of climate change and how we can help reverse the effects of climate change by putting far more carbon and organic matter back into our soils.
Thank you, H. That was Harbir Gill, the founder of Ground Control. And as H said, you know, there's a plethora of resources out there for you to utilize to find out more about soil and how you can cultivate the soil that's around you. You know, so many of us are turning to gardening now to keep ourselves busy during the MCO. So it really is a great time to start. And, you know, like he said, I'm usually afraid of killing plants. I've been known to kill cacti. I feel like I can't kill soil. So I feel like that's the direction I should be moving in.
That's the right mindset to have. You know, Shamila, I was tending to my garden and I was carrying a large unopened bag of dirt when suddenly I heard this really big, scary noise. Safe to say, I soiled my plants.
See, I was saving a dirt joke for you, so now I have one. See, Shawik, I was reading a book the other day and a man started adding dirt to a farmer's land. That's the point in the book where the plot thickened. Yes, now that we've gotten that out of our systems.
And we've made you probably groan and want to turn off your radio, but don't. We've got a really nice message from John on WhatsApp, who is very happy to hear H back on our station, extolling the virtues of our soils. He's a big inspiration to us gardeners and vegetable growers here in PD. So John says, keep up the good work, H.
Oh, that's lovely. I honestly, before speaking to H, I didn't realize there was so much to this. Mm-hmm. And so I do hope that, like me, more people are thinking about... I live in an apartment, for instance. Mm-hmm. So composting is not something I've thought about too much. Mm-hmm. I am now interested to think about what I can do. And even if it's not for my own garden, mm-hmm. whether there's some way that I can perhaps share that, maybe with my mom's house or something like that.
But I've also seen pictures. I'm not saying I am in any way an inspiration to anyone, but I've seen pictures of people living in apartments with tiny balconies, mm-hmm. but they've set up their own tiny little balcony garden. So I guess, space is not necessarily an impediment, and you can still do a lot in a small space.
No, I definitely think so. Mm-hmm. I think it's actually just basically getting up off my behind and realizing that there's very little excuse not to do it.
Mm, don't just plant your behind on the couch.
There it is, yes.
So we would also like to leave you with the recommendation to check out fao.org/world-soil-day, which is a thematic website full of information, initiatives and materials that will give you a solid foundation on all things soil related.
Well, if you'd like to share your efforts with us, you know, if you've been doing any sort of gardening, if you've been thinking about how you can increase the soil health in your garden around you, you can let us know. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Or you can write to us on Facebook. We are BFM The Bigger Picture. We are all in this together. We're happy to hear ideas. And if you've missed any part of our show, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app, or on Spotify, or on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, Dasharan Johan will be speaking to Subhashan Vadibeler, who is a Malaysian Rhodes Scholar. So we're going to be speaking to the final year medical student from University of Malaya about his life, his passions, and what he hopes to achieve in the future. So that's it from us today on the Daily Digest. But in theme with our World Soil Day celebration, we're leaving you now with Jamiroquai singing Deeper Underground, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.